It is hockey night in New York. Welcome to the program. It is Sunday, October 8th, 2017. Kicking off another great show for you tonight. We have Chris King, the Islanders radio play-by-play voice, joining us at 9:30. Tony Stabile, how are you, buddy?
What's up, man? How's everything going?
I'm good. Feeling a lot better today than I was Friday night. I'll tell you that.
I think anybody with an Islander jersey on will tell you that they feel better than they did Friday night.
Friday night? What the hell happened on Friday? My goodness, the season finally started for the Islanders, but they waited a day until yesterday to actually get started. I mean, geez, they had nothing on Friday. Might as well just start talking about that.
Brutal game.
They couldn't generate anything. Columbus was all over them. It was really hard to watch.
They look like they literally look like a team that was in their first practice of training camp. I mean, it was terrible. It was just complete. And we'll get into this as the show goes on. But it just looked completely disjointed. It looked like they were out of sync. Still looking, kind of learning the system that they're playing in. I mean, they obviously turned a corner and played much better on Saturday, but
right.
Oh my God, Friday was just a mess.
Yeah, I mean, look, we all know the preseason means nothing, but you know, they gave fans a little hope going unbeaten regulation. They looked pretty good, you know. Again, counts for nothing, but you know,
they just
went from that to Friday was just kind of like, where the hell did that come
from?
Well,
the thing about it is that even in preseason, and you know, I mean, you know, the scores and you know, the record means absolutely nothing, but they look like a cohesive unit, at least, you know, in most parts of games. And just Friday, it just seemed like everybody just forgot what was going on.
It's like they just were allergic to the offensive zone. They couldn't get through the neutral zone. It was really hard to watch.
I give it up to Columbus. I mean, that's, you know, Columbus is a good team.
They're a good team. They played a great game.
They have a tremendous amount of speed on that team.
And the few saves that Bob had to make, he made.
He made, exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, you know, a lot of questions in the offseason about Panarin and how he's going to do not playing on Patrick Kane's wing. Well, he comes out and buries three assists. It was all over the ice, basically, on Friday, so I think it's safe to say that he looks pretty comfortable in Columbus in his new surroundings.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, you like to root for the local kids, just not when they're playing your team. But Sonny Milano looked good for sure.
Yeah, gets his first. Of course, he gets his first NHL goal against the Islanders.
So did Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yeah, so just about everybody gets their first NHL goal against the Islanders, whenever they're playing them or not. But
yeah,
the Islanders seem to be the team to do that for, and. Sonny Milano, the Massapequa kid, not too far from my town.
This is true.
Yeah, not too far away. So good for him. You know, obviously you don't want to see it in that situation, but you know, if you're going to get your first goal, it would be against your hometown team. So that was good for him. And as you said, Pierre-Luc Dubois gets his first goal.
Never even heard of the guy before before Friday night.
He's a big thing for Columbus.
He kind of
fell in there. They took him in the draft a few years ago, and they're very high on him. So
okay,
big thing for him to get his first goal. And listen, Columbus is going to be fighting among the top of the division, man. They are.
Well, going into Friday, you know, I would have told you, Tony, don't be surprised if that's, excuse me, an L. Just because, I mean, we've talked about this over the course of doing this show, that there's like four or five teams. We've named them, we've said it, that the Islanders just, for whatever reason, have trouble with, no matter where they are in the standings. And Columbus is one of them. So I was kind of going into the game, you know, ready for a loss, but just not the way it happened. I didn't think they were going to get blown out 5-0 and have nothing to show for it. I thought they'd at least give them a game, you know, and I would have been pleasantly surprised if they got a win.
I would have been happy
if they
got a period, let alone a game. Right?
Right. Absolutely. A shift. Maybe a shift.
I mean, if Halak doesn't come in that game, I mean, he basically stood
on
his head.
He was the only bright spot of that game.
And I can't blame Thomas Greiss. You don't want to see a goalie give up five goals in the first two periods. But
yeah, but when your team is playing like that in front of you,
you
had the giveaways
really
have and all that.
Very little chance. You have very little chance.
Yeah,
I mean, look at Pittsburgh the first two games. Pittsburgh got their doors blown off.
So funny.
Two games in a row.
I mean, was I was talking to my buddy about the game Friday night, and, you know, he was like, what is going on here? You know, he was just doom and gloom, and I said, well, hey, we could be Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
right
I mean,
now,
Pittsburgh,
you know?
Went, Chicago hung a 10 spot on Pittsburgh.
Crazy.
So
yeah.
To see the, you know, to see them, and then they come back and they dominate Nashville last night. They get the shutout in a rematch of the Stanley Cup Finals last year, so
yeah.
That's a big thing.
There's been a lot of high-scoring games since the season started. And you know, strange scores, like you just said, but, like, there's been a lot of, you know, big goal games here. And then you have Ovechkin already has two hat tricks. You know, I mean, and then there's been some nice highlight reel plays, highlight reel goals. So I feel like the season has definitely started off with a bang, and the Islanders were just late to the party.
Yeah.
But they finally showed up yesterday.
I think they thought their first game was Saturday night.
Yeah, Friday. I don't get it. I don't get it. But you know, they looked a lot better last night, playing in front of the home crowd. I actually happened to be there last night at the Barclays Center, had a nice little time, and you know, definitely saw a lot better out of the team. They put some goals up. That was nice too, and they got the first one out of the way nice and early.
Nice and early.
You know,
nice
and another good thing.
Less than 2 minutes in, right?
It was. I think it was. It was 18:01 on the clock when he scored the goal.
Yeah.
So nice to get that right out of the way. And, you know, it's another good thing that, you know, after Friday's loss, that they were going right back at it the next day. They didn't have the weekend to stew over it. And, you know, just like get back to business. And thankfully they did against the Sabres. And what, they put up a four or five spot on them before the Sabres even put a puck in the net.
I think it was four. I don't remember exactly how, because it was four because they had the Tavares goal early, and then they had those three goals that scored in a matter of what it was. It's like a minute 45 seconds in the second period, and then what, Evander Kane came and he scored his first goal, and then he ended up getting another one. He's off to a hot start to the beginning of the season. So Kane came off. He's got like 19 shots in his first two games, I think. So he's been firing all over the place. Jack Eichel, Buffalo, let me tell you something. Buffalo finally, you know, starts to put things together. They got some really, really nice pieces up
there,
man.
Well, we talked about it last week. I mean, they have a really good young team. You know, they have a lot of good young forwards. I think really it's the defense and goaltending is what kind of needs to catch up. Mm-hmm. I love their forward squad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if they can round out the... you know, the back end of that team, they're definitely going to be dangerous. And you're going to see it. I mean, Eichel's going to be a monster this year, you know, and he's going to be leading the charge. He looked really well last night. And you know what was really strange about the game last night? Four shorthanded goals.
I know. You never see shorthanded goals anymore. Both the Tavareses were shorthanded goals, weren't they?
No. The first goal in the first period was even strength. And that was Jordan Eberle's first point as an Islander. He had an assist on that.
Yes, he did.
But no, the second and third goals were back-to-back shorthanders. You had Tavares and Cizikas.
Right.
Yeah, they scored about 50 seconds apart. Yeah. So that was pretty bonkers.
Josh Bailey with a goal.
He got his first.
A goal and an assist last night.
Yep.
Matthew Barzal, oh, my God, comes about a tenth of a second from scoring his first NHL goal. And there's Kyle Aposos, the guy right behind him, lifts the stick.
Yeah.
Doesn't get it.
Just held on to it just a little too long.
Rookie mistake. You waited just a little too late for it to be perfect. Can't do that. Got to just bury that puck right where he was. And he doesn't end up with his goal. Cizikas ends up getting the empty netter from about 75 feet from where Barzal was. He ends up burying his second goal of the game.
Yeah.
Interesting move by Doug Wade in the middle of this game. In this game, he changes the flip-flops, Cizikas and Nelson. And Cizikas has a great game. Nelson got a little physical there. Actually saw him throw a hit, which is rare.
My
for
goodness.
Yeah, yes. Open ice.
He
hit
does
no
have
less.
A pulse, ladies and gentlemen.
And you know, and the funny thing is that he hit that guy, and the guy goes flying, and you're like,
Could you do that a little more often, please?
Can you use your size to that your advantage, just the way you did right there?
Maybe this is a little message being sent by Wade and the coaching staff, and you know what? I was very caught off guard when I saw the lineup. I was like, interesting. I wonder what that's about. But, you know, to Cizikas' credit, you know, and, you know, you have a lot of Islander fans that, you know, they like to poke fun at the fourth line. They went from the best fourth line in hockey to the most expensive fourth line in hockey, right? You know, a lot of people unhappy with Cizikas' contract, Clutterbuck's contract. And, you know, Kuhlman just happened to find himself there in the depth chart now.
Right.
You know, and he's making over $4 million a year. But we've always talked about Cizikas as a guy capable of being a third liner. He's just a great... you know, a fourth liner.
Right.
You know, so he's kind of finally maybe just filling the role that, you know, he kind of could fill on a lot of other teams.
Well, he was fantastic.
As a third line center. You
he
know?
Scores the two goals. He wins 9 faceoffs. He's hitting. He's shooting. I mean, he's out there. He makes a difference whenever he's out there. And he absolutely can be playing third line minutes. He plays on that fourth line because he's so good at it.
Right.
And you know. And that energy line, him and Clutterbuck. Clutterbuck can be a third liner also.
We said that too.
But he gets taken.
He was a third liner before he came to the Islanders.
Exactly.
Right.
And he kind of gets pigeonholed into that fourth line.
Yeah.
And they did because that line, and they were never really a fourth line, even when Martin was here.
Right.
They were the energy line, man. Every time you know there was a goal scored, they'd be the first line back on
you
the
might,
ice.
You might argue that there were times when Cappy overused that line.
Well, question. No
yeah.
question.
Yeah.
No
but
question.
They were obviously a very effective line.
Yeah, and you saw them. Even in the playoffs against Pittsburgh and against Washington, that line drove those teams, you know, gave them fits.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw, you know, at the end of that Pittsburgh series that every single time that they were on the ice, they were, you know, the Pittsburgh team, they were looking over their shoulder every 10 seconds. Like, where are they? Am I going to get smashed into the boards here? I mean, it's
right.
they were in the heads, and they did it to Washington the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just, you know, obviously it's a shame that line isn't still together, you know, Martin now in Toronto, but you know, Cizikas comes up, plays that third line, plays it really, really well, scores the two goals, including the empty netter to kind of seal the deal. To me, you know, I mean, that's a change right there, and that's a change, in my opinion, that Cap does not make. He doesn't make it. He doesn't. His in-game, and that's one thing that we talked about a million times on the show, is that his in-game adjustments always used to be, it seemed to be a little late or not
mm-hmm.
enough or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could see a little bit with, I mean, Friday night, obviously, Doug couldn't do anything. He was switching lines and, you know, it's just nothing was there. But you saw on Saturday, you know, that he makes that change, and it's a big change.
Yeah,
it has an instant impact.
It's an interesting one, and, you know, it's something to keep an eye on because I just can't see Nelson staying there.
No.
I don't think that's going to be a permanent thing. So I don't know if that was to send him a message or Wade just wanted to try something different. But, I mean, look, it worked. They got the win. They looked a lot better. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that carries out and where they end up using Nelson, you know, after that. Because, like I said, I just don't think that's going to be a permanent fixture having him on the fourth line.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, that would be I don't want to say that it would be a disservice to Nelson, but you know, talents are definitely not
too good
be best
for. Yeah, he's a goal scorer. He needs to be
right.
on a line where he can score goals.
But I understand. You know, I understand the idea behind it also because you kind of you want a little bit more tenacity from him. You know, I mean, and really that's what really the fans have been clamoring about for ages now is that you know he doesn't utilize his size the way that he should. He doesn't play as physical a game. I felt as a rookie he played a more physical game. In Bridgeport, he played a more physical game. But he's become more of this kind of circular, you know, waiting for his shot. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then that's how he disappears for endless periods of time, it seems. So if he can get back to that, you know, playing with more, more urgency, as they like to say, I think that it would only improve his game and make him, not go through those scoring droughts that he ends up in most seasons.
Right, right. And just to keep it focused on the lineup here for a second, a lot of Islander fans were steamed when they found out Thursday night what the lineup was going to look like on Friday when they announced that Jason Chimera was going to be in and Joshua Hosang was going to be out. A lot of unhappy people about that. I wasn't too thrilled with it myself. But I was like, you know what, if it's just for the first, I was like, there's no way he's not playing Saturday.
You know?
I was like, before Clutterbuck ended up hurting himself on the boards, I figured they probably would have made that change anyway.
I agree.
Then you also saw Seidenberg starting on defense.
Yeah, which was, that was a little.
Yeah, so that was another surprise, at least for me.
I don't want to say he played terribly on Friday, but he definitely did not have his best game. No question.
Right.
The entire defense didn't play well.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously he's one that gets kind of singled out, especially by the fans a little bit more than others.
Sure.
Because you have a guy who's 38 years old playing
38.
Out there, and you got some young guys on the bench. You saw Adam Pelikan into the lineup. You saw Scott Mayfield draw into the lineup on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I thought both of those guys played real well.
That coaching staff really likes Mayfield. They really like him.
They do.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't. I'm just it seems like they certainly favor him.
I think that I honestly feel like he has taken the biggest step forward. And listen, his skating is never going to be elite.
Right.
But his footwork is definitely improved. He's not, in my opinion, he's not a top four defenseman, but he's a real solid, you know, third pairing defenseman. He brings physicality back there. He hits. He's not afraid of any situation.
Right.
And really, honestly, he's confident with the puck. He handles the puck real well.
He does. He makes some pretty good decisions out there.
Yeah, and he's got a nice outlet pass. He's not he's not one of these guys with stone hands. So, you know, I don't mind having him in the lineup. And I actually thought Adam Pellick played real well last night. He threw his body around. Mm-hmm. If he plays a simple game, you know, he can be a really effective NHL defenseman. I like the way he played last night.
Which is going to be, to the chagrin of another guy we haven't seen the lineup yet, named Ryan Pulock.
I think he's going to eventually draw in. I mean, he's not just sitting around because they have to push him through waivers, but, you know, he's going to get it. He's going to get a shot. I mean, I can't see them going with Mayfield every single night.
Right.
And I think he's one of these guys who just kind of has to draw in, have a good game, have two good games, three good games, and start getting some momentum going, and then kind of, you know, force them to keep him in the lineup. And that's really what has to happen. He didn't play phenomenally in the preseason. So I understand them kind of being a little hesitant and, you know, mm-hmm. kind of holding that carrot like, okay, you're going to get in here soon, but not mm-hmm. yet. And then once he does draw in, I honestly feel he's gonna take off once he gets going. You know, he's too talented of a guy. You saw the way he handled himself in the playoffs against Florida a couple of years ago. I thought he was, you know, he's one of the best defensemen that they had on the team, especially that home game where he scored that goal that he scored with his missile of a slap shot.
Right.
So I would love to see that guy come back and play and be the player that we saw in the playoffs and on a nightly basis. So I think it's only a matter of time for him.
Yeah, I guess it's just a question of when, right? But you say that, you know, Pellick and Mayfield look good, so it's like, when do you take them out of the lineup in favor of them? You know, I mean, what are they going to wait for an injury? Are they going to wait for one of these guys to play themselves out of the spot for a night? You know, how's that going to happen? And how are they going to, you know, handle Seidenberg, too? He's still there. See, I guess the problem they have right now is everybody's healthy, and they're not being – these decisions aren't being, you know, forced – isn't being made for them.
Right.
You know?
And then another guy I wanted to bring up was Calvin DeHaan, who on Friday night was a giveaway machine, was just handing the puck over to Buffalo.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody told him that he doesn't play for the Sabres, but he was definitely giving them the puck as if he played for them. And then last night he comes out, and I thought
Columbus was Friday.
Columbus, I'm sorry, yes. Friday. He was just handing the puck out left and right. And then last night he comes back, plays a much better game, solid. I think he ended up being a +3 in the game. The typical the Calvin DeHaan that we've seen over the last two seasons, not the guy that we saw Friday night in Columbus. He like night and day for Calvin DeHaan.
Right, and I think that's going to be the focus, you know, for this team. We discussed it last week that defense is probably the biggest question mark
for
this team, and
no
how they're going to perform and how they're going to fill those minutes left behind by Hamonic. I mean, we did talk about how he had a rough year anyway last year, but the bottom line is people are going to have to step in and fill those minutes anyway, and they're going to have to do it well enough to help this team get back into the playoffs.
I got a chance to see Travis Hamonic a little bit in his opening night game against Edmonton. And, I mean, listen, Connor McDavid will make most NHL defenses look silly. But, I felt bad for Travis Hamonic. Oh, my God.
Was he the defenseman when he had the highlight reel goal, when he blazed by? Oh,
him
boy.
And Brody were out there. And it was like Hamonic was trying to come up the ice, and it was like Connor took three steps and then was gone. And Hamonic was still trying to catch up. It was bad. Listen, Connor's going to do that to just about anybody. What are they, like four or five defensemen who could skate anywhere, even in the ballpark that he can,
right,
let alone, you know, with him on a nightly basis. So there's not – I mean, he'll make Nick Leddy, you know, who's, in my opinion, one of the best skaters in the NHL, you know, look silly out there.
Sure.
He's just got ridiculous acceleration. But Travis had a real tough night in Edmonton. He didn't play – I mean, Calgary's had some issues over the first couple of games, so they're going to have to sort themselves out. But they have too much – they have a lot of talent on defense too. But the Islanders are going to have to figure this out because, I mean, is it going to be one of these situations? If you talk to people out there, especially, you know, guys who are, you know, kind of close to the team, most of them feel that they're going to acquire a defenseman as the season goes on. They have the pieces to do that.
Certainly.
Again, it's been promised from pretty much everybody that those draft picks they acquired for Hamonic are not going to be on the team, when they get to the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So are they going to invest? I mean, I have to think that they're going to invest and a defenseman. I mean, up front, I think they have enough pieces that they wouldn't have to invest those pieces in that.
That's under the assumption that Barzal, Bevilla, and Hosang all pan out the way everybody, you know, hopes that they do.
Yeah, I mean, and
we've only seen two games worth, and I do want to discuss, you know, what, you know, I want to hear your thoughts on how they performed over these past two games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, we kind of got to wait and see what we still have with that. You know, I mean,
sure.
I do think that, you know, with the promise that Barzal showed through training camp and in preseason, that he may just be able to help fill that void, you know, over the course of the season in the second line center spot, and at least provide some points and provide a threat, you know, on the power play. So maybe, you know, that big desire for a guy like Matt Duchene, like the fans have had and we've had and talked about on the show, maybe it's not you know, that dire anymore. And maybe it does, you know, you just shift the focus to a defenseman, you know, to maybe a top four guy that can slot next to DeHaan, you know, especially if, you know, any one of Pelech, Mayfield, or Pollock just aren't ready for those minutes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's, to me, I think that's going to be the big question mark this year. You know, I mean, they've done, in my opinion, they've done a nice job of, you know, bringing in Eberle. You know, you have Anders Lee, who scored 30-plus goals there on the left side last year. You know, Tavares, obviously, you know what you have in him. That second line, as you said, is going to be the key here. Is it going to be, is Josh Bailey a 50-point guy? Is he going to be able to do that not playing on Tavares' wing? You know, is Barzal going to be able to, you know, to play the way he played in the preseason? Andrew Ladd, I mean, I think Andrew Ladd has looked like a completely different player. It's, you know, especially, you know, given the, you know, how he started off last year, you could see the difference in his game. You know, he's obviously moving a hell of a lot better.
Yes.
He's much more involved in the play. You see he's got to be bringing that physicality out there. So, you know, Andrew Ladd definitely doesn't look like the washed-up guy that everyone thought maybe that they had gotten last year.
And I think a good thing, you know, that kind of goes along with Ladd is that it's we're a year removed from last year. He was the big acquisition last year.
Yeah.
You know, he was paid big money to come in. I think he can now fly a little bit under the radar.
Sure.
And he kind of
like
we
sure.
Exactly. You mm-hmm. know, we discussed it a little bit last week where, you know, you kind of almost forget that he's on the team, you know, to a degree, you know, because he's not that, you know, they got Eberle and he's on the first line now with Tavares and Lee.
Not on the first line anymore.
And
so
he's not on the first line.
Expected to be.
He's not expected to be, you know, the sidekick to John Tavares anymore, like
right.
people were kind of hoping he would be last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now that kind of falls on Eberle's shoulders, and hopefully, you know, he can fill those shoes, and I think he will.
I liked Ladd, the idea of Ladd on the first line last year. I like him even more as having him as the option on the second line. I think that he brings a lot to that second line.
Well, what we were pleasantly surprised by last year was Lee. You know,
exactly.
Kind of grew into that role. I mean, I didn't think he was going to be a first-line left winger on this team.
No.
You know, I think we were all hoping he'd be a decent third-line center, right? I mean, that was kind of what people kind of had him pegged at, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was, again, the question with Anders Lee was always going to be, was his skating ever going to allow him to be, you know, that type of elite player? You knew he's a guy who could put the puck in the net. He scored at every level he's played at. You know, he scored in college. You know, even when he first came to the NHL, he put his first puck in the net as, you know, within the first couple of games.
That's right. I remember that.
You know, so, and then, you know, I mean, he didn't play very much, but, you know, especially when he came up originally, but, you know, you could see right away that the guy had a knack for getting the puck in the net. Somehow, some way, he always was able to do that. There was always
right.
going to be his skating, and, you know, he worked hard at it. And he has become, you know, it's not a question mark with Anders anymore. He uses that. I mean, the guy's tremendous. I mean, he's 6'5", 200, what is he, 230 pounds or 235 pounds?
He's a large man.
I mean, that's tremendous. And,
yeah.
You know, for the fact that he gets around the way that he does, he can park himself in the front of the net, he can play against the boards, you know, that's a huge asset, especially for a guy like Tavares who likes to move around a little bit more. He's got some creativity, and the fact that they got Eberle on that line, too, thinks just like Tavares does, I think that could be a dangerous line going forward. And you saw a little bit of it last night with Tavares and Eberle.
Yeah, no question about it. I think something I've noticed with Eberle early here in the preseason now going into these first two games is he's definitely got an eye for the passing lanes.
Yeah.
I've been impressed with some feeds that he's been sending, you know, Tavares and Lee on that first line.
He's got tremendous hands.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we said it last week, too, that this hasn't really been a team – that's really had a guy like that,
yeah.
You know, in a long time.
And now you got two of them because
you could argue
Barzal, Hosang, obviously, but,
right?
But you look at Barzal and you look at Eberle, and they're like, it's almost like they're a carbon copy the way that they play the game,
right?
You know, they're both extremely creative, but it's not as if they're afraid to shoot. Like Bailey has always been a guy with a tremendous shot that was always afraid to shoot the puck. He always felt he had to pass first.
Right.
Eberle and Barzal are guys who look to pass first but aren't afraid to shoot if they have to.
Right.
And you could see the difference, and they kind of know when to shoot and when to pass. And the two of them, I mean, and you've seen Barzal make some amazing plays over the over the preseason.
Yeah.
I really think that, you know, between his hockey sense and the way he really has taken that step forward maturity wise. He feels obviously much more comfortable in the room. You could see it just the way he handles himself, how he's been handling himself on the ice. I think this kid is definitely here to stay. I mean, it's just, I don't think you can question it. You know, it's just a matter of just putting the numbers on the board at this point.
I agree with you, Tony, and we'll stick with those kids before we go to break here for Chris King. But Anthony Beauvillier, he scored his first goal last night.
I love that kid. I love the way he plays.
I do, too. He scored the goal to put them up 5-2. He busts his ass. That's what I love about
balls
him. He's a hustler.
Wall. Every
he's
time
hustler.
He's on the ice, he's balls to walls.
Yeah.
And honestly, he's the first guy who really reminds me of Jason Blake. And he and Jason Blake, a guy who scored 40 goals in this league. Jason, this is a guy who I think is infinitely more talented than Jason Blake. He skates really, really well. He's got a flair for scoring big goals. Being in the right places. Mm-hmm. He always seems to be in the right place. Like whenever you're out there, I mean, I know there were a couple of times last year where he made rookie mistakes here and there.
Sure.
But I watch him and he always seems to be in the right place. He's always following the play the way that he should, and he thinks the game. He thinks the game as a defensive player, but plays an offensive game, and it's so rare nowadays. It's an old school kind of a way that he plays the game, and I just think that he is going to be such a solid all around player. He's not superstar material. He's not.
Right.
But he is going to be one of those guys that, you know, teams that win the Stanley Cup are going to need to have a guy like this on their team, and Beauvillier is going to be able to fill that role for this team.
Well, everything you said, it's a testament to how he earned himself a spot on the roster last
year. No question.
He wasn't on my radar.
No, he was. I don't think he was on the team's radar.
That's what I mean. I don't think he was really on anybody's radar as far as, you know, getting a spot on the team. You know, he's just another one of those draft picks. You think, okay, he's at least two years or so away. You know, let him develop.
Playing
the juniors,
no less, too, which is kind
of right.
You know.
And then all of a sudden, you know, as camp was going on, it's like, wow, this kid's still in the conversation. Now, wow, this kid earned himself a spot. Wow, he ended up sticking around instead of Barzal.
He's,
you know,
he's the classic, you know, guy who comes in and forces the team to make a decision on him right away, and they did. And you saw he rewarded them when he played. I don't think they used him nearly enough last year. I thought it was much better once Doug took over. But, you know, I thought Jack was, again, very gun-shy with him early on, held him out of a lot of games early. But I really the fact that he was around the whole season last year, how he progressed as the season went on, I think is a big thing for him for this season. And you see, and again, you saw him come into camp, and he's a guy who could have went down. He didn't have to. You know, if he could have just taken practice off, he'd taken preseason off, and they could have sent him down to Bridgeport. A lot of teams, I think, they kind of were. There were some fans, at least, that were thinking that was going to be the case because they were going to try to get Barzal the chance. The way Hosang played at the end of last season, and he just came into camp and handled business, and there was no question. There was never a question all through camp whether Beauvillier was going to make this team or not.
No questions, Tony. None of them.
None.
Not a
Zip.
One.
Zippo.
All right, folks, you listen to Hockey Night in New York, part of the Hockey Active Radio Network. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, the Islanders radio play-by-play voice, Mr. Chris King, will be joining us. We'll be right back.
If you're interested in exposing your business on an exciting new platform to a great audience of potential new customers or clients, then advertise right here on the Hockey Active Radio Network. Reach thousands of listeners every week on our entire radio, social, and online network. Competitive, affordable sponsorships are available now. Contact sales at hockeyactive.com. That's sales at hockeyactive.com. Introduce your business or services to the coolest fans in the world. In need of solid online solutions for your business or service? Then contact Island Web Media today for all your hosting, branding, web design, social, and multimedia needs. With over 15 years of experience in the industry and on top of all the latest trends and platforms, you will get the answers that you need. Island Web Media is an American company based in Long Island, New York. Go to islandwebmedia.com today. That's islandwebmedia.com. The Hockey Active Radio Network is powered by Hockey Active LLC in Long Island, New York. Hockey Active is always looking for good people to join us as we expand our audience reach and network services. If you have digital, video, social media, and sales skills, go to hockeyactive.com today. Call or send us an email and see how you can get involved with an exciting new company covering the coolest game on earth. Once again, that's hockeyactive.com.
Back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Hockey Night in New York, part of the Hockey Active Radio Network. While we wait for Chris King to call in, Tony, let's just continue talking about the children, the kids, young guys.
The one thing we didn't get a chance to talk about in the first couple of shows was there's always so much to talk about. You know, music, big part of our show. We try to incorporate a lot of music in and everything. And we lost two of our favorite artists over the summer this year. Losing Chester Bennington from Linkin Park, and Chris Cornell from Audioslave, as you hear in the background here. So it was a tough summer when it comes
devastating.
To that. So it was
devastating.
Very
Tony,
tough summer.
I grew up listening to Soundgarden. And I became a very big fan of Linkin Park when they first hit the scene.
Yep.
I actually saw them really early in their career. I had just gotten into Hofstra. I was in college, and it was my freshman year. And they were, you remember K-Rock used to do those 92 free shows?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think they were like a dollar or something like that. I forget exactly what the promotion was, but I think they like you basically just paid like a buck for the ticket. And but I'll continue the story later because Chris King is actually just calling in. So welcome, Chris King. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for joining in and talking some Islanders with us. I figure we'll just get it started and get your thoughts on this first weekend of games here for the Islanders. What have you seen from this team? What do you like? What do you dislike so far from how they performed over the weekend?
Well, one very bad game, obviously, which was opening night in Columbus, the 5-0 loss, which almost was as bad as it could be. And then one very good game, you know, last night at home in the home opener, the 6-3 win over the Buffalo Sabres. So, you know, whatever it was on Friday night, it clearly wasn't there. Whether they needed kind of a wake-up call, they certainly got it in a building that's just been a house of horrors for them. But, you know, had a ton of turnovers, a ton of penalties. It was 4-0 before they blinked. And, you know, it just never corrected itself. But to their credit, you know, they came out. They got the early goal last night on the very first shot of the game from John Tavares on a nice setup by Eberle. And then, you know, you had one of the craziest second periods ever with four shorthanded goals for the two teams combined. And to their credit, you know, the Sabres pushed and got within two a couple of times, but they were able to finish it out and you know, get themselves to 1-1. And then the big kind of wrap-up of the weekend, if you will, tomorrow, the matinee at 1 o'clock against St. Louis, determines whether you have a winning or losing weekend to open the year.
Yes, absolutely, Chris. And there's a few groans in Island Country going into the game Friday night concerning the lineup. I think there were some fans that were a little disappointed to see Joshua Hosang not being in that opening lineup, and also with Chimera taking that spot. Just want to get your thoughts on that. And do you think this is something we might see over the course of the season, where maybe you know, a young guy like Hosang isn't going to be a shoo-in for the lineup every night, and he may be in and out?
Yeah, I mean, you can make a case for that, certainly. And again, right now, you remember, guys, they're at 13 forwards because Shane Prince and Alan Quine are still out. So you've got somebody that you have to scratch every night. And, you know, going into that game, everybody was healthy. Of course, Clutterbuck got banged up in that game and sat out last night with a little bit of a hip injury. But, you know, we talked to Doug Waite about it before the game, and I think his biggest concern was size. Columbus is a very big team. They play a physical game, and I think that really dictated the two decisions that he made size-wise, and that Chimera, you know, even though he's 38, he'll play that physical game. He'll grind it out. And also in goal, you know, Thomas Greiss tends to battle a little harder, if you will, than Jaroslav Halak. He's just bigger physically than Jaroslav Halak. So I think that was the main reason he gave us, that he decided decided on Grice and he decided on Chimera. But yeah, I mean, you know, Josh Hosang, to his credit, wasn't happy that he wasn't in, and that's what you want. You don't want him to be happy that he's not in the lineup on opening night. And then went out last night and I thought had a strong game, a great setup on the Bailey goal, which was the only even strength goal in that crazy second. And, you know, we talked to Doug about it. It's not an easy thing for him every night right now to say, here's, you know, one forward who's going to have to sit and two defensemen, but that's where he is because he's got eight healthy defensemen, and right now, you know, 13/12 with Cal Clutterbuck healthy forward. So in a way, it's a good problem to have because you have to make that decision, but you have to have those conversations every night to tell three players, guess what, you're not dressing this evening, and that's the hard part of it.
Absolutely, Chris, I agree with you, and the other they're going to have the same problem on defense because you know, that's, again, you have Ryan Pulock is yet to be in the lineup. They had Dennis Seidenberg in the lineup on Friday, sat him out on Saturday. They drew in Pelik and Mayfield, and I thought the two of those guys had strong games. How do you think they're going to handle this going forward on D?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, too, because if you look at, you know, the five veteran defensemen in Letty, Boychuk, DeHaan, Hickey, and Seidenberg, well, then you got the three kids in Pulock, Pelik, and Mayfield, you know, who are all 24 and under. And again, do you sit, you know, two of those each and every night, or do you do what Doug did with Dennis Seidenberg, who is 36 years old, and decide you might not play him on the second night of back-to-back? So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out going forward. And I think the fun part about this is they're all so different. Every one of them is completely different from the other. And Ryan Pulock, obviously, is the big offensive-minded defenseman. Scott Mayfield is more the stay-at-home D, defensive-minded. And Adam Pelik, you kind of have the combination of both, just very steady, good offense, good defense. So on a nightly basis, you may decide, hey, I want a little more offense this night. That's Pulock. I want a little more defense. That's, you know, that's Mayfield. Or you say you go in between with the steady Eddie, if you will, in Adam Pelik. So you guys mentioned it. You know, Ryan Pulock is the only one on the roster right now that's has not played a game. And, you know, the power play also hasn't scored in two nights. So it might not be too long before we see Ryan Pulock. But I can tell you today he was skating back on that fourth pair with Dennis Seidenberg. So indications were today that the same lineup may go tomorrow as was used in last night's game. Cal Clutterbuck did skate with the team today, and he was kind of the extra on that fourth line, which last night was Nelson, Kuhlman, and Chimera.
Yeah, I guess the next thing I want to talk about is the way that Pulock played in the preseason. You know, he came out, kind of everybody expected him to win a spot on this team. And I think especially early on, he seemed a little bit, I don't want to say that he looked nervous, but he definitely wasn't playing relaxed. And then as the time went on, he seemed to play better and better. And I thought maybe probably the last game he played was probably his best. Is that tough for Doug to have to not put him in the lineup, especially when he got to the point where I think that they felt he was playing the best hockey of preseason, and now he's going to have to sit and watch?
Yeah, I think so, you know, and I agree with you. I think he got better as the preseason went along, and he knows, you know, that the offense isn't a question. He's an incredible offensive weapon. To me, he's going to be quarterbacking, you know, that first or second power play unit when he does get back in there, and then there's, you know, something he can't teach is 105-mile-an-hour slap shot, and that's what he possesses. So he knows, you know, the area that he needs to work on is his defensive game, his physical game, and he's, you know, going up against two young guys every night in Pelik and Mayfield that he has to try to beat out for that spot. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how much longer they go without giving him a try, especially if the power play, you know, doesn't score, because that's obviously, you know, the number one thing that he's exceptional at, and obviously we've seen it over the last couple of seasons with the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. But it's basically three full years at Bridgeport now for Pulock with just a sniff at the NHL level with the Islanders, and at some point, you know, he's got to get up here and show that he has the chance to stick and be an everyday player. But right now with that logjam of, you know, eight defensemen and only six can dress every night, it's going to be a battle, but it's a good thing to have, I think, when you have, you know, three guys 24 or younger battling for that one position if you, you know, say the other five veterans are going to be in on most nights.
Hockey Night New York, we're talking to Islanders radio play-by-play voice Chris King. Chris, you mentioned Brock Nelson getting bumped down to the fourth line in the lineup, and I kind of wanted to talk to you about that and just get your thoughts on that, because it kind of caught Tony and I by surprise. We didn't see that coming. I mean, I know they had to make an adjustment because of the Clutterbuck injury, but to see Brock getting put down on the fourth line was kind of surprising. And any thoughts on that? Do you think that was a message being sent to Brock, or it was more just of a numbers thing?
I mean, I think it could be. It absolutely could be. You know, he's gotten off. I don't want to say it's a slow start. It's two games. But, you know, Doug Waite, when he talked to us, said he just really wanted to see what Casey Cizikas could do between the kids, Anthony Beauvillier on the left and Josh Hosang on the right. So Doug talked about the fact that, you know, if you look at Casey's numbers over his career, he's basically been a point every two games or so his entire career. And, you know, it may not sound like a lot, but when you have zero power play time in your entire career, it's not bad to have a point every two games. That's a 40-point season without any power play time. And certainly Casey, you know, look what he does last night, going out his first two-goal game, his first three-point game, and again was skating between the two kids again today. So I was kidding with him today, actually. I sat down with Casey for a long interview that'll run tomorrow night, and I said, you know, we're going to start calling it Casey and the Kids, but here he is as, you know, the grizzled veteran at 26 years old between a 20-year-old on his left in Beauvillier and a 21-year-old on his right in Hosang, and he just kind of laughed about it. But I think he had fun. He brings that energy always. And for Brock, I think it's a little bit of a wake-up call. And granted, it's not your typical fourth line and playing with Kuhlman, who is, you know, mostly the grinder on the left wing on that fourth line. But Jason Chimera, you know, is the guy he's playing with who's coming off back-to-back 20-goal seasons. He is 38 years old, but he still can skate. He still can hit. And it's not like your typical fourth line. But, you know, if Brock wants to work his way up right now, certainly John Tavares is always going to be your number one center. Matt Barzal showed us some unbelievable things in the preseason to put himself in that two slot. And it seems like Casey and Brock are going to battle right now for who's three and who's four. And right now it's Casey at three. And coming off last night, I certainly don't see that changing tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, I wouldn't touch a thing after the way Casey played last night. You brought up Matt Barzal. That's a guy you want to talk about next. You got him between two veterans and Andrew Ladin and Josh Bailey. What are your thoughts on what the difference between what you saw with him in preseason and what you saw the first two nights?
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly I think better last night than he was in Columbus, but nobody was good in Columbus. But I just go by, you know, what I saw in the preseason, guys, and that was, you know, the team's leading scorer. 3 goals, 4 assists, 7 points in just 5 games. And it wasn't just the point total. It was the incredible manner in which he scored some of those goals. I mean, you start with the game-tying goal in the third period at the Coliseum that gets it to overtime, and then Tavares, you know, gives us a storybook ending with the overtime winner at the game back at the Coliseum. But to me, the real goal that I think opened everybody's eyes was the Brooklyn game against the Devils, where Tavares hands him the puck in Islander ice. He basically outraces every single Devil on the ice, gets around all of them, gets behind the defense, cuts across the top of the paint, and roofs it under the bar. I mean, that's just, I mean, you can't teach that kind of speed, those kind of hands, the recognition of what the goaltender was doing, as, you know, he talked about in an interview right when that period ended. It was just a spectacular goal. So I think, you know, Matt Barzal coming off just an unbelievable year at Seattle, out in the WHL, where that team had never won a championship in their 40-year history, and he leads them to their first title. He's playoff MVP. He's brimming with confidence, and you're playing with guys like, you know, Bailey and Ladd, who are great veteran players, and each have, you know, a terrific shot in Andrew Ladd, a terrific setup guy in Josh Bailey. It could be a lot of fun to watch. I talked to Bailey today a lot about Barzal, and he didn't realize how fast he was. That's the first thing he told me, is he just shocked to see how fast he is when he gets it in gear, how he can fly. But he loves everything he's seen from, you know, the youngster who's just 20 years old as well, and I think that's going to be a fun line to watch too.
No doubt about it, Chris. And the big acquisition for the Islanders this summer was Jordan Eberle. Just, I know it's still very early, but just want to get your thoughts on what he's been bringing to the team so far, playing next to Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last night was the first thing we really saw of what he can do. I mean, a terrific play to cause the turnover, and then just that beautiful saucer pass on the 2-on-1. And Tavares actually made a great shot. He was so low by the time, you know, he received the pass. He was almost bottom of the left circle, and Leonard was cutting over. It really wasn't an easy goal at all, but that's, you know, what Islander fans are hoping to see from Jordan Eberle, who obviously has proven what he can do in this league as far as goals are concerned. 20 or more goals the last 4 straight years. He had a 34-goal year a couple years back with the Oilers, and the big thing to me, guys, he adds, you know, a right-handed shot as a forward on the power play. That's something, if you think about it, the Islanders have really been lacking. They had Ryan Strome there occasionally, but now you've got, you know, Eberle, a right-handed shot at forward who can play on the power play. You got Barzal, a right-handed shot forward who can play on the power play. Josh Hosang, right-handed shot forward who can put on the power play. So they went from really none of those players to three, But, you know, Jordan Eberle is a guy that's going to have great success with Tavares on the power play. That's where they really played together for Team Canada in 2009 when they won gold. They really didn't play at all at even strength, but together they worked their magic on the power play. So I think eventually we're going to see that man-up situation start to get stronger, especially if Ryan Pulock is added to the mix there on the blue line. But I'm excited to see what Jordan Eberle can do, you know, on a full season of John Tavares' right.
Absolutely, Chris. And just to touch on the one position that we didn't talk about tonight is the goaltending. Jaroslav Halak, throughout the preseason and obviously the first two games of this year, has looked outstanding. Thomas Greiss, I really can't hang any of the goals with his play on Friday night. Can you just talk a little bit about how these two have been pushing each other and what you think you're going to see from, are you going to see more of this from them as the season goes on?
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought they both were great in the preseason. Thomas Greiss played three games, only allowed three goals. Jaroslav Halak played three games, only allowed two goals. So, you know, I asked Doug Wade, are they 1A and 1B? And he said, no, they're kind of both 1A right now. And I asked Garth Snow the same thing. And he was, you know, very straightforward. So the guy who stops the puck more often is the one who's going to get the call. But I think more than anything, guys, is the fact that they each have their own net in practice that, to me, is going to be the biggest positive. Because a year ago, obviously, you had the J.F. Berube situation where the Islanders didn't want to risk putting him through waivers and lose him and basically stuck around all year. So it was the old, you know, three cars in a two-car garage is what you're trying to do. And every single day at practice until the end of the year when they kind of rectified it, you know, you had a goaltender sharing a net, and every goalie will tell you it's just not a good thing. So I think, you know, Jaro and Thomas will find their grooves. They'll get the practice time they want. They'll get the reps they want. And, you know, certainly 2 years ago we saw what Jaro Halak could do. We've seen what Thomas Greiss did in, obviously, the playoff run. And last year, you know, Jaro's incredible roller coaster for, you know, what became just an unbelievable season where he started out as one of the best goaltenders in the world in the World Cup with Team Europe and then struggled so mightily with the Islanders. They sent him to the minors for 2 months, and who would have ever dreamed he'd come back and, you know, run the table to close out the season. The team wins the last six games and comes up a point short of a playoff spot. So I agree with you. You know, Thomas Greiss, that tough start in Columbus, first shot goes in off of his giveaway, DeHaan giveaways behind him, a couple of man-up goals for the Jackets, and it snowballed on him. But, you know, to Jaro's credit, he came in, didn't give up anything in Columbus. And last night, a couple of, you know, a little tough goals where he mishandled the puck a little bit. That was kind of slow getting to him in the corner. But those two shorties by Kane, the only, you know, real damage before they got the late one by Eichel that made it interesting. But, you know, it's going to be fun to watch because I think, as Garth said, that the guy that, you know, is going to stop the puck more may get a chance to play multiple games in a row as opposed to switching on and off. If you have the hot goaltender, stay with it. There are 16 sets of back-to-backs this year for the Islanders, so I think, you know, you'll see them split the goalies in all of those situations. But outside of that, if one of the two gets hot, I wouldn't be surprised to see one goaltender play two, three, four, you know, five games if they can get on a roll.
Absolutely, Chris. Well, awesome stuff as always. Really appreciate you having you on. Thank you so much, and hope to have you on again during the season.
Yeah, and guys, listening to what you were talking about when I first came on, and I just want to chime in. I saw Tom Petty, you know, 2 months ago in Forest Hills, and it was just unbelievable. Oh. And to lose Tom Petty, you know, you're talking about the Linkin Park situation, but for me, I'm an old school classic rock guy, and you know, Tom Petty was one of my all-time favorites, and I'm a big music guy too. And you know, just so sad to see things like that happen, and such a great talent gone. And we've heard so much Tom Petty in the arenas the last two games for the Islanders. It's great to see that he won't be forgotten. And of course, that situation down in Florida where the Gator fans, 90,000 strong, are singing Tom Petty. It's great to know that, you know, we still have his music and Linkin Park's music to live on as well.
Absolutely, Chris. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, take care, guys. Have a good night.
Take care.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Islanders Radio play-by-play voice, Mr. Chris King. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. Fantastic stuff.
Talking classic rock with
classic rock.
Love
Tom
it.
Petty.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's what a year it's been with these musicians, man.
Oh, it's been
insane.
It's been brutal.
You know, and you know, it's hitting closer to home now for me because, you know, I'm actually, you know, I grew up with a lot of these people now. You know, like when you're younger, when you're a kid, you hear about a celebrity passing or a musician passing, and you're not really dialed into their music. Obviously, it's terrible and it's sad that they're lost and they're gone, but it doesn't hit you the same way if you didn't grow up with them and you didn't listen to them yourself. So that's kind of what's been happening for me now over the past couple of years. You have Scott Weiland, who is we're pretty much close to the top for me. I mean, huge Stone Temple Pilots fan.
Mm-hmm.
Lane Staley, huge Alice in Chains fan. Yeah, but that was a long, long time ago. But
wasn't that long ago for me. But I remember when Kurt, they were announced that Kurt Cobain was gone, and that was pretty bad.
I was 12 years old, you know. I mean, it was, but yeah, I mean, that was crazy for me too. But I was just so young. But now it's like
I was in high school. I loved Nirvana, and
I had their records on cassette. You know?
God, yeah.
Yeah, remember those?
Yeah. I do, actually. I think I might still have one or two. But yeah, I didn't think it could get any worse. When after Cornell passed, I love Soundgarden. I love Audio Slave. I love Chris Cornell. And I didn't think it could get any worse than that. And then, you know, Chester Bennington goes and it basically, you had no idea that he had been battling depression the way that he had, especially after Cornell died, and you know, just awful. And then the whole thing with Tom Petty last week, just like Chris said, it's, you know, it kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit with you know, with the whole Vegas thing, which again was awful.
Oh, geez.
But I mean, oh my God, it really, for music, this has been, last year it was for the entertainment industry, how many people passed away. This year has been music. It's been brutal.
It really has. And just to finish that story real quick. So I went to that show. It was Linkin Park. I think they were playing with Fuel and Disturbed, like three bands that would never play together under any other circumstances. And, you know, I actually had the privilege of meeting a couple of the guys in Linkin Park before the show, because I was hanging out, I think it was at Roseland, and I was hanging out upstairs. You know how they have, like, the VIP section up there? So I forget how I even ended up there. But anyway, they were hanging out up there. And, you know, me and my buddies, we went over to say hello, and Chester was just so friendly and welcoming. Like, you can tell, right, with some people, even with athletes and stuff like that, they want nothing to do with you, right?
Right.
Like, here comes another, I'm going to have to, you know, lose another 5 minutes talking. This guy couldn't be happier to just, you know, have a nice little chat, hey, how you doing, all that. Like, he was just so warm and welcoming. It's something I never forgot. You know, and, you know, just to hear of his passing and the way that he went, and that he was battling all those demons, was awful. But yeah, it's crazy, and I think the day he did it was Cornell's birthday.
That was
unbelievable.
Well, I didn't realize that the two of them were as close as they were. They were extremely.
I didn't know
close.
That either.
Yeah, I had no idea. In his note, he wrote that Cornell was like his brother, and that he lost him, and you know, it's just brutal. It's a brutal way to lose two extremely talented people in a few months' time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But let's get back to happier things, and we'll talk about sports and the Islanders and hockey. So we were talking about the kids. What have you seen so far out of these guys that you like, that you don't like? Obviously, Hosang didn't get in the first one, as we discussed. But what have you seen so far?
Excuse me. Look, Josh is. I'll start off with Hosang. You know, listen. Every time he's on the ice, he's doing something. When you play a game the way that he plays, there's obviously, you know, mistakes are going to be more magnified. There was the giveaway that he had in the Islander zone that kind of led to the second Evander Kane goal. Do I think that he's, you know, a flighty or risky player when he's out there? No, I think he controls the puck when he's out more than not. But again, when you play the style that he plays, it can be considered a little bit more risky. He doesn't play a lot of defense. So, you know, he's one of those dangler kind of players. So, you know, I guess you would call it high risk. I like when he's out on the ice. I don't really understand why they'd want to keep him out of the Columbus game, especially where you know, a team that's got the amount of speed that Columbus has, you'd think you want to combat it going up and down the ice. So, it's fine. I, whatever the case is, I like what he brings when he's out on the ice, and I think that he's, you know, should be a regular in the lineup every single
night. It might have just been like a respect thing, you know, like the veteran thing.
For Chimera,
yeah,
it definitely,
you know,
could have been. It definitely could have been. I thought
Josh just drew the shortest straw.
I just think that if the two guys who are going to be, you know, kind of going into the lineup, it should be Kuhlman and Chimera. You know, if you want a little bit more of the grinder, a little bit more of the positional guy, you put Kuhlman in. You need a little more speed, you put Chimera in. I think that, you know, Hosang should be just a staple on that line. It should be playing every night. I mean, that's my opinion, at least. I mean,
yeah.
Unfortunately, my opinion doesn't really matter, but I mean, that's
right.
That's who I think should be in the lineup.
No, I agree with you. You know, to be perfectly honest with you, I know he scored 20 goals last year, and that's obviously very valuable. But I prefer Kuhlman in as a regular too, to be honest with you, just for the game that he plays and the purpose that he serves on the ice.
Sure, sure.
As far as being a defensive minded forward.
And I'm not trying to say, I'm not trying to minimize what Kuhlman brings to the team. Absolutely not. But when you look at the 12 forwards that they currently have, it, you know, if there's one of them that you could rotate in and out, in my opinion at least, it's him. You're not going to take Ladd or Bailey or Nelson or Cizikas.
No, I agree with you.
You know, like, he's the one guy who you could switch out. And again, it's a matter of preference at this point. It's a luxury to have.
Well, I'll say this. I'd rather Kuhlman rotated out than Hosang.
Exactly, and that's my point.
No, I'm with you on that.
I don't want to see Pavilion in the lineup. I don't want to see Barzal in the lineup. And I think that Barzal now is playing in a position where it's kind of hard. That would be very hard to take him out of that position. You know, if you're playing second line center, I would think that, you know, it's a little difficult to rotate somebody in and out of that spot.
Well, I mean, you could argue you can throw Pavilion in there, you could throw Nelson.
Sure,
in there.
But then you're mixing and matching two different lines. You're not just plugging somebody in into their spot and that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. Now you're messing with two different lines at that point. If they're trying to gain some cohesiveness, which in my opinion it seems like a Wade is trying to do. You know, he wants guys to play together. I mean, these guys, for the last couple of weeks, it seems like they've been playing on the same line.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't change it up Friday, but, I mean, it was just, you know, for one game. They went right back to the following day to be in the lines that he had going for the last couple of weeks.
Right, right, right.
So, I mean, that's it. Barzal, I think that maybe he looked, I don't want to say starstruck Friday night, but I think that with everything that was going on, the entire team, I kind of throw Friday out because the entire team played like shit. So I'm not gonna go and pin anything on anybody on Friday. I look at the way he played last night. Yes, there seems to be sometimes when he, you know, will make one of these plays where maybe, you know, I think it was in the third period, he put it out to, you know, to they were on a power play, and he put it out to the point, to the left point, and there was nobody there. Because the defenseman had already jumped in, and then then the puck kind of goes out of the zone, and that's an anticipation play. He's expecting somebody to be there. The guy had jumped into the play already. So I mean, it's a mistake. It's a rookie mistake. Not scoring into the opening net, that's a rookie mistake. They're going to be that. I mean, they're kids. They're 18, 19 years old. They're only a couple of games in the NHL. They're going to be mistakes like that. I didn't see anything in Barzal's game last night that would say that. I think that my opinion from him from last week has changed at all. That he's going to be an important part of this team going forward. And Pavilion, we talked about earlier, the guy is just, you know, even if he's not scoring, he's doing positive things either he can do on the penalty kill, his level of energy. I like what I've seen out of each and every one of those guys, especially what I saw last night.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm with you, Tony. I'm with you. And just to focus in on Pavilion for a second there, yeah, I think, he's going to be a great middle six guy, you know, with the defensive mind of hockey. And if he can put, you know, add offense to that resume too, I mean, that's just, you know, icing on the cake, you know.
No question. You know, I mean, look, as the early part of the season goes on, and we talked a little bit about it, as you know, they have made some tweaks to the way that they play and whatnot. You know, you're not going to see the finished product, I think, for another week or two. And you've seen some of these, and we talked about it earlier. There have been some ridiculously high scoring games so far.
Yeah.
You saw Pittsburgh get their doors blown off twice in the same week, once from Toronto, once from Chicago, and then they come out and they shut out Nashville. So you're not exactly seeing the finished, polished product from any team at this point. So
right. You
got to wait a week or two and kind of see what you get. You know, you're going to get a good night, a bad night. You know, St. Louis is a real tough team. We're going to see them tomorrow. They seem to be re-energized. New coach Mike Yeo is there now. They acquired Braden Schenn, who has looked real good with them recently. Guy, obviously, you'd love to have on your team.
Philly, sure.
Philly would have never traded him within the division, but you'd love to have a guy like Braden Schenn on your team.
Right.
But you know it's going to be a tough test tomorrow. You know, St. Louis is one of the top teams in the Western Conference. It's a day game. You know those day games that suck at 1 o'clock. That, you know, throws everything
not the
off
Islanders
of these guys.
Fourth day. Yeah.
No, definitely not. So it's going to be an interesting. And it's Kids Day, of course, tomorrow. So you know it'll be like 900 fights in this game. You know, it's no Ryan Reeves anymore. You see, they plugged him on Crosby's line the other night. Last night, he had 24 penalty minutes and scored a goal. Played 6 minutes, 24 penalty minutes, 5 hits, and scored a goal. Hey.
Bless his heart.
I mean, guys, that's the reason why they got him. But anyway, just the point is that, just to finish up, they have, you look at every team the way that they played over, and you kind of see mixed results. You know, the Rangers had a couple of tough games. They were out. They were shutting out Toronto, Montreal tonight, 2-0 in the third period last that I checked. So all in all, I think that, you know, it's going to be another week or so before you see exactly what teams are going to be like. But based upon what I saw last night from the Islanders, if we see that team on most nights compared to what we saw on Friday night, I think you're going to be, you know, in a pretty good position going forward. Because Buffalo is a talented team, and we're, like we talked about.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, we're just going to have to see how it plays out. I mean, three pretty tough games to open up the season, and we already, you know, we already talked about their struggles with Columbus. I think like they've won half as many games as they've lost against Columbus since they came into the into the league. I think they ran that stat off on Friday night when they were playing.
And at least Hartnell's not there anymore. Hartnell used to just drive the stake through their heart all the time, and right. Now at least he's back in Nashville. But you know, Columbus is just one of those teams where they just do not play. It's Columbus and Carolina are the two teams that just. I circle those dates, and I'm like, I'm just not.
Montreal,
they haven't been so bad.
Better against Montreal,
recently.
But over history, at least my history watching this team.
Oh, from 93
Montreal
on,
and Ottawa just, scheduled losses.
Oh, and Ottawa too.
Carolina scheduled losses.
They won like 9 games their first year, and I think three of them were against the Islanders.
Yeah.
That was just, and it was brutal. It was just absolutely brutal. I hate
for whatever reason. It's just. Those teams, for whatever reason,
they could
the
have had the
history.
Equipment manager playing goaltender, and he would score, had 50 some odd saves.
Probably
it used to be, the Panthers used to be that way for the Islanders too. And they
I don't remember.
They've
so
turned
much.
That around against Florida mm-hmm. recently, but that was a team. And honestly, we haven't seen Tampa since last October. But I'm not looking forward to those guys coming around again.
Right? Wow, that
they
was
blew
brutal.
The doors off
That's
this
right.
team last year.
But that was three times, right, in October.
It was three times in like 12 days.
And it was like a masteries game, right?
Yeah, I think it was three times in 12 days. It was
Good
ridiculous.
God.
They were done with Tampa, I think, by the end of October last year, beginning of November.
Right.
They played all four games against them, and then that was it. They were done.
Yeah.
And I think I remember Kucherov, who's not a. He's not one of these guys who runs his mouth, was saying, God, I wish we could play these guys more. We play
I remember
well
that.
Them.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I'm looking forward to those games.
Well, it's nice that those days are
And Stamkos is back, so.
Right. What a joy. But one thing, just to keep it on the kids real quick, one thing I wanted to mention about Hosang, he needs to find a balance with his handling of the puck. Because sometimes, and hopefully he finds it, but he does hang on to the puck a little longer than you might like.
And there was some talk about that's the reason, that's kind of the reason they saw him fall into some bad habits, holding
mm-hmm.
on to the puck too long, staying on the ice too long.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of, it was part of the reason. And Dougie alluded to it a little bit on Friday morning, I think, when he said that he wanted him to watch the game out of the, he wanted him to watch the game from the press box. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I actually prefer... To, you know, for Doug, you know, for the coach to go to the player and be like, listen, I want, this is what I want, this is what I expect, and not just bench him and kind of just throw him to the side and say, you know, okay, for the next week you're going to sit upstairs and, you know, we'll see when we can get you back in the lineup. He did the right thing. He told him exactly what it was. You know, he tells him he's got confidence in him, but he wants him to watch the game from upstairs. And I thought Josh played a good game last night. Again, there are going to be times where, and he's still a young guy. You got everyone, we've been talking about him for so long. He's only 20 years old. So
right.
There are going to be times where he makes mistakes. It's obvious. Again, playing a high-risk game that he plays, it's going to happen. But I think that on most nights, you're going to see he's going to make plays the way he did at the end of last year and the way he did last
year. Well, that's the thing. I mean, when he actually finally decides to make a pass, it's usually a beautiful pass. It's a great play.
Yes.
It's just I've noticed, you know, every now and then he's
he
just
does.
Overhandling
holds,
the puck
yes,
a little bit.
Absolutely.
You know, you see a play that could develop if he just threw a pass.
And he's
and he
gotten
holds
much.
On to it, you know?
He's gotten much better at it.
Right.
A lot of the criticism that he had gotten from, you know, teammates and coaches, which is he's unknown, you know, unnamed,
right.
was that he's selfish because he holds on to the puck too long.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, he stays out there too long. And yes, those are immaturity issues. And he's worked at that, and he's gotten much better at it.
Yep.
But listen, sometimes you fall back into bad habits, and you have to be reminded of things. And that's,
sure,
I think that's
sure.
kind of what happened here on Friday. I didn't see him really doing it too much last night.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was, you know, kind of concise with the puck. Again, that was the one giveaway that led to the goal with Evander Kane. And I actually kind of thought that was more Halak, where he kind of lost the puck there,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't get back to the post fast enough.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, you know, I really liked it. I love what he brings to the team, the energy he brings, and you could see like he's just even you know in practice and you know morning skate, he's very light. The guys love him, so he's an asset, you know, in and out of the room.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, folks, in case you forgot, you listen to Hockey Night in New York, part of the Hockey Active Radio Network. Tune in live or for the archives at RadioHockeyActive.com. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back.
you're interested in exposing your business on an exciting new platform to a great audience of potential new customers or clients, then advertise right here on the Hockey Actors Radio Network. Reach thousands of listeners every week on our entire radio, social, and online network. Competitive, affordable sponsorships are available now. Contact sales at hockeyactive.com. That's sales at hockeyactive.com. Introduce your business or services to the coolest fans in the world. In need of solid online solutions for your business or service? Then contact Island Web Media today for all your hosting, branding, web design, social, and multimedia needs. With over 15 years of experience in the industry and on top of all the latest trends and platforms, you will get the answers that you need. Island Web Media is an American company based in Long Island, New York. Go to islandwebmedia.com today. That's islandwebmedia.com. The Hockey Active Radio Network is powered by Hockey Active LLC in Long Island, New York. Hockey Active is always looking for good people to join us as we expand our audience reach and network services. If you have digital, video, social media, and sales skills, go to hockeyactive.com today. Call or send us an email and see how you can get involved with an exciting new company covering the coolest game on earth. Once again, that's hockeyactive.com.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to Hockey Night in New York, part of the Hockey Active Radio Network. Tony, what song is this? I've never heard this before. What is this? Is this that band? It's that band,
It's a band. It's instrumental interlude.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough.
It's called Coin for the Ferryman. It's a little harder.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Okay.
Listen, there's no lyrics. I know his voice gets on you. That's fine.
Find a way to sneak these guys into the show.
Of course I do. Listen, did you see the picture? The one I retweeted with Roenick and Scatcherd?
No.
With Jack Kroger?
Oh,
it was great, dude. It was hilarious. They must have went to the concert, and I guess they were in Arizona or something, and Roenick tweets out a picture of the three of them after the concert, him,
wonderful.
Scatcherd. And,
yeah, I bet you were jealous.
And then what's it called? And then Lucic in Edmonton. It was Lucic, Ryan Strom, Andrew Ferentz. They all went to the concert, too. They were sitting by the stage. They tweeting out pictures also, so I'm not the only one. Thank you.
I guess you're not. Somewhere out there,
there are
Nickelback fans.
25 million record sales.
All right.
I'm not the only one listening.
There's a lot of fools out there. What can I tell you?
Apparently so.
A lot of fools. Okay. So we talked about the young forwards. I just wanted to sneak in a question here with you about the young defense. We discussed the lineup and a bit of a conundrum here with too many players, not enough spots to get everybody into the lineup. So I guess I want to ask you, what is your ideal solution to the defense, assuming that there's no injuries? I mean, eventually they'll happen and it will kind of sort the situation out itself, I suppose. But until then, what's your ideal situation to get Pulock in? I know a lot of fans are clamoring for him to get into the lineup. Everybody wants to see his big shot in the power play. What's your solution here? I mean, do you get a rotation, you know, a little platoon situation going? Does Seidenberg need to be in the lineup at all? What's your thoughts here on the day?
I like what Dennis Seidenberg brings to the team, but I really honestly feel like they have to get Pulock in there and they have to give him like 10 or 15 games to just get him out there and to see what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
Give him some momentum. Rotation is not going to – for a guy who's trying to build himself, trying to work with the power play especially, if you're going to have him on that first power play unit, you got to give him some time. I mean, you can't just be rotating him in and out and be like, oh, good, go run the power play tomorrow, and then you're going to sit on Thursday and Saturday. That doesn't make any sense to me. You want to have some cohesiveness there. You want to give him a chance to kind of get out there and get a feel and build some momentum and get some confidence. And that's what I want to see from him. And I don't feel that a rotation is going to do that. So I would like to see them finally say, okay, we're going to put him in a lineup. We're going to put him in a lineup for the next 2 weeks and see where we're at. If he's terrible, that's a different story, okay? If he's terrible. But he's not. I don't think he's going to be terrible. I just think that he needs to get some confidence, some momentum going. And without getting him into the lineup and putting him into NHL games, it's never going to happen. So I would think that one spot should absolutely go to Pulock and just give him time to get himself acclimated. You know, the other thing is that now you have Pelech and Mayfield. You know, Chris talked about it a little bit. Each guy is a little bit different. You know, Pelech brings a little bit of both. He can throw the body. He's got a big, you know, he can throw his body around. He's a big frame. As long as he plays within his game, it's, you know, he doesn't try to do too much. Mm-hmm. You know, he could be really effective. And the coaching staff really likes him. I really like what Mayfield brings. He brings that toughness out there. He's not a goon. He can play 15, 16 minutes a night. And you don't really have to worry about him. I still worry about his speed a little bit, especially with teams like Columbus that can just burn out there. So I would say my top six would be Boychuk, Letty, DeHaan, Hickey, Pulock, and Pelech right now. And then you rotate in Seidenberg and Mayfield in where maybe you feel that you need to get them out. You need more of a defensive squad. You don't want to put Pulock in there, but you got to give him at least a two-week trial and see what he's got.
Yeah, you got to get him in there eventually. I mean, have you seen anything in Pelech and Mayfield's game that you would consider a liability as far as just to justify pulling one of them out of the lineup for a guy like Pulock? It seems like that's what they're trying to avoid with Pulock. That, you know, look, everybody knows about his offensive game, his shot and stuff, but they're keeping him out of the lineup. So they must, my feeling is they must think he might be a liability on the defensive side of the game, on the side of the puck. Maybe they right now just feel that Mayfield and Pelech are more reliable, more, you know, I guess less of a liability back there.
Well, I mean, the thing with Ryan is that I think that his offense is on his mind on most occasions. And you see that with offensive-minded defensemen. Even with Erik Karlsson in the early days, he put up a ton of points, but he was not known as a very good defender at that point. Mm-hmm. He's grown into a very good defender. And you have guys who are like Shea Weber, who was more of a defensive guy who had offensive skills that developed them as time got on, so he never got away from being a great defender.
Mm-hmm.
Subban, sometimes he gets lost in that, not that he gets lost in his defensive game, but he gets lost too much in trying to make offensive plays, and that's where he makes his mistake. So I think that it's just a maturity thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing of experience. And, you know, we've talked about a million times. You know, Dennis Potvin says, before you played 100 games in the NHL, you don't know what you're doing out there. So I think that that's really where Ryan's problem is. I think that he can play in the NHL. I think he could be an effective defenseman. I don't think he's a power play specialist. But right now, the other two guys, and I think it's more of a testament of how Pelech and Mayfield have played to this point more than it's how bad Pulock has played. I think just those other two guys have overperformed or have performed to the level that they've expected, and then Pulock is kind of just behind them because he's not playing as well as the two of them are playing. So that's more, I think it has more to do with the way that they're playing more than what Pulock is not doing.
Okay. And just to ask you a similar question on the whole of the roster here, you know, you go over the years and it seems like every you know, roster that the Islanders put out, you always have that one guy, right, that you just kind of like cringe at seeing in the lineup, right? You had your Brian Straits, you had your, some people it's Josh Bailey still, some people it's Brock Nelson, some people aren't too thrilled about him being in the lineup. But I guess just looking up and down this roster, is there anybody that gives you that that thought? Is there anybody on this squad currently that you just don't want to see in the lineup, or you think is hurting the squad, a liability, what have you?
This is the first team in a long time where I can look up and down and make an argument that every one of them should be on the team. I will tell you that there are guys who frustrate me more than others.
Sure.
Nelson being at the top of that list.
Right.
And mostly it has to do with the fact of is that I feel that he hasn't even scratched the surface of his potential. Mm-hmm. I think he's a 30 goal, 60 point guy if he really was able to kind of crack down on these waves of disappearing acts that he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that talent. He's got the shot. He's got the hockey IQ. I mean, God, it's in his DNA, for Christ's sake. I mean, you know, he comes from he comes from one of the great hockey families, mm-hmm. you know, of the last generation. So you know, he went to a great school. He played really well at North Dakota. He played well at Bridgeport. He's played well at the NHL level. It's just that the consistency's not there, and the jam in his game is just not there on a nightly basis. And he's got the frame, and he's got the mean streak to do it. He just doesn't do it enough. You saw it last night, man. I don't remember who it was, but he absolutely annihilated some guy in center ice. I said, is that Nelson that did that? Like,
right.
You just
who
don't
stole
see,
his jersey?
Right. Like who's that in the wearing 29 tonight?
Yeah.
But that's the thing that frustrates me about him the most. Josh Bailey, I think on a night to night basis now is a solid player. Is he ever going to live up to what the fans expected him to be? No, he's
never.
Not. But I mean, the guy is a 40-50 point player. I don't even know if he's going to be with the team next year. I mean, honestly, I don't know if
that's
going to be the case.
That's fair.
You know, do the Islanders want to pay, $5 million for another 45, 47, 50-point, a winger who doesn't score 20 goals? I don't know if they're going to want to do that. They're going to need money someplace else. They have these young guys who they have in the lineup.
Yeah.
They can, there's other places they can go with that. So there's a question whether or not he'll be with the team next year. He doesn't bother me as much as he bothers other players. The kids, we talked about them. I like Andrew Ladd. I like what he brings. Obviously, he got off to the rough start last year. Lovely, love Eberle, love Tavares, obviously. Zizekas and Clutterbuck, people have problems with their contracts. As long as they're not hamstringing the salary cap, I don't give a shit how much they make, to be honest with you.
Yep.
I really don't. Mm-hmm. And Kuhlman, yeah. I mean, do you want to pay $4 million for a guy who scores 12 goals?
Well, this is probably his last year.
I would say there's no question about that. So, yes, that spot bothers me now. I love the signing when we got him. I think that he plays a role on this team.
Yeah, yeah.
But no question. But I guess, he would be somewhere in the middle or, closer to a frustrating spot, but Nelson is the guy who bothers me the most. And it's not because I don't think he belongs on the team. It's just that I think he can just be doing so much more.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I agree with you on pretty much all fronts here, And it's why I asked you the question, because I kind of sat back and looked at the roster. I noticed, I said, there's nobody I'm really, furious to see on the line.
And
in the lineup.
Guys, so many guys over the years. Handy Hilbert and
Andrew McDonald became one of those guys.
Andrew McDonald was that guy, and then there were guys who that we basically ran out of town. I mean, Marty Reason or Brian Ralston, Brian Strait was one of those guys.
The great John
Sim. That was the next one.
The great
John Sim, and who made the team because Matt Martin got hurt that year, that preseason. So, I mean, there's been so many guys over the year, but this is the first time I can look at this whole team and be like, each one of these guys deserves to be here. And even the guys, even Quine and Prince, I don't have a problem with either one of those guys either. So,
yeah, in their roles, sure.
As long as they're not playing in the second line, I'm sure.
Right, if they're not playing in the top six, I'm okay with it. Funny story about John Sim. This is going back. I ran into Ted Nolan at a bar in Long Beach I guess this was like 10, 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. Completely random. He was there with what was his assistant's name? Lacroix? Was it Pierre Lacroix?
Dan Lacroix.
That's right. So they're just there hanging out. I think they had their wives and whatever. And so I'm with a couple of my buddies who also happen to be on the fest. I'm like, that's Ted Nolan over there. So we go say hello. Very friendly.
Did he have his tie undone? Did he have his top button undone?
Oh, I don't. Probably. I mean, I don't remember.
Love when he did that.
But anyway, so we went over. We were chatting with him. And, I said, this must have been like his second year, I think. And I was like, Ted, so, you guys made a couple of pickups over the summer. Anybody, you're particularly, excited about it.
And
I kid you not, Tony. He goes, really looking forward to seeing what John Sim can do.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I lost my shit. But you go back to those days, and, those were, the biggest, pickups that the Islanders were making.
They made John Sim seem like he was this underrated. He played with Atlanta. I think he came from Atlanta.
Right.
I think he scored like 14 goals one year. And this guy's going to be great.
I almost spit my drink out on Ted Nolan's unbuttoned top button because I couldn't believe it when he said it.
It's brutal.
I don't know who else. So I don't remember who else they might have signed or picked up. Obviously, there were no big ones, but I think they just, signed a couple of different guys, and I was just like, so who are you looking forward to, getting into line? And he said John Sim.
Well,
knowing
what you know now about John John Sim and about Ted Nolan, does that statement surprise you even in the least?
I suppose
he
not.
Loved guys like that. He only wanted to play guys like John Sim. Guys who didn't belong to be in the NHL but would work so hard that you'd have to put him in the lineup.
Yeah.
That was exactly the kind of guy that Nolan wanted on his team.
Yeah.
And really, honestly, it's the reason why he was fired three different times because he refused to play the skill guys. He only wanted to play the grinders.
Well, it's nice to come far enough where instead of talking about John Sim getting picked up in the offseason, we're talking about Jordan Eberle. So I'd say there's a little progress that's been made
department. And that's the thing that kills me is that last year was Andrew Ladd. This year is Eberle. Like, these are two guys who are generally considered, you know, they're not elite, obviously, but they're considered, you know, very good players still within their prime years.
Right.
And the fact that you've added two of them over the last two seasons, and now these first round picks that you've been making, you know, making like crazy, three of them are in the lineup. You know, three of the last four are playing on a nightly basis now. So, and then you got another one who's just itching to get in the lineup in Pulick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is we're getting to the point now where, you know, it's you actually have to see the finished product and what they can do over the course of a season. But I like the makeup of this team. I like the coaching staff. I like the makeup of the team. And, you know, I really honestly think that the team that we saw last night is the team that you're going to see more often than the team that you saw on Friday night.
I sure hope so, Tony.
I definitely don't want to be wrong on this one.
Well, it is interesting that I know it's just one game and it's early, but this Doug Waite-led team is seemingly continuing this odd trend of when they lose,
they lose
big. Yeah, 5-0. That was a little scary. But, folks, thanks for tuning in to Hockey Night in New York. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, the very first Hero of the Week for the 2017-2018 season. We'll be right back.
If you're interested in exposing your business on an exciting new platform to a great audience of potential new customers or clients, then advertise right here on the Hockey Active Radio Network. Reach thousands of listeners every week on our entire radio, social, and online network. Competitive, affordable sponsorships are available now. Contact sales at hockeyactive.com. That's sales at hockeyactive.com. Introduce your business or services to the coolest fans in the world. In need of solid online solutions for your business or service? Then contact Island Web Media today for all your hosting, branding, web design, social and multimedia needs. With over 15 years of experience in the industry and on top of all the latest trends and platforms, you will get the answers that you need. Island Web Media is an American company based in Long Island, New York. Go to islandwebmedia.com today. That's islandwebmedia.com. The Hockey Active Radio Network is powered by Hockey Active LLC in Long Island, New York. Hockey Active is always looking for good people to join us as we expand our audience reach and network services. If you have digital, video, social media, and sales skills, go to hockeyactive.com today. Call or send us an email and see how you can get involved with an exciting new company covering the coolest game on earth. Once again, that's hockeyactive.com.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to Hockey Night in New York, part of the Hockey Active Radio Network. And when you hear this glorious song, folks, that means it is time for the Hero of the Week. Nice to hear this song again, Tony. Who's going first, pal? Who's going first? You want to do the honors, buddy?
No.
No?
No?
No, okay.
I'd rather you go first.
Okay, buddy. I'll go first.
I don't want you to have the same guys, man. I want you copying me.
You're just going to copy me.
Probably, but that's besides the point.
All right, well, you know, we talked about him on the show earlier. Chris King had a lot to say about him as well during his interview. And, you know, I think I got to go with Casey Cizikas. Had his first three-point game, his first two-goal game, as Chris pointed out. He filled that third-line center spot very well. I have no problem with him being there. And I think he did a very good job. So because of that, Tony,
hence why you anoint him your Hero of the Week?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That is why Casey Cizikas, number 53, is my Hero of the Week.
That's profound. That is really, that's impressive stuff right
there.
I
was working on that. all night.
I'm sure you were. I'm going to go with a center also, a guy who also had a three-point game last night, scored the first goal of the Islanders' season. Unfortunately, it was in game number two.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
The captain, number 91, John Tavares, comes out in a game, knew right away that the Islanders had to get on the board early, wanted to tap into that crowd who was very loud last night at the Barclays
mm-hmm,
Center.
Mm-hmm.
Tavares scores early on with an assist from Jordan Eberle, adds another goal and an assist later on in the game, plays generally a typical John Tavares type in John Tavares fashion, scores a big goal. You know, it seems to always do it in front of the New York crowd in the Coliseum game earlier on in the preseason. Who knew that
a preseason game at the Coliseum was going to have a storyline like that to it?
It's just amazing, man. It's just the way, really. And you could see when he scored. I mean, it was 2 days after practice it started, and he put his arms up in the air when he scored that goal and was like taking it in. It was amazing to see.
Yeah.
But honestly, the way he played last night. The way he's handled himself during this whole thing, obviously it's more self-driven at this point, but he's handled everything very well. He played a great game last night. John Tavares is my hero of the week.
Okay, not bad. Mine is better as always, but decent choice. He had a good game. He had a good game. Second place.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the captain. Sure.
Yeah, he was all right.
Okay.
He was okay.
Sure.
Fine. Go with John Tavares. Go with the superstar.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, go the easy way.
Well, I mean, you know, the guy only had 3 points, so, I mean,
all right.
Why not?
All right. Well, the good thing is that they won. They won. They came out of that awful loss Friday, got back to business on Saturday, because this would have been a miserable show if they had lost that game last night.
They had lost last night.
Starting out with back-to-back losses. Would have been bad news.
Yeah, it would have been something brewing in here tonight. Ooh, let me tell you.
Yes, indeed. And then going to play St. Louis tomorrow because, like we discussed, afternoon game on a Monday at home.
Not usually good.
Don't bet on the game. No, I mean, look, they got a good shot against St. Louis. I think they match up good against St. Louis. But, you know, for whatever reason, those 1 o'clock games
I'm glad you think so.
I do. I feel pretty good about it. I feel much better about them playing St. Louis than I did about them playing Columbus. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that also goes by history as well. So,
and then they head off for that California trip after that, right? I think they're Wednesday. They play the Kings, or am I wrong? Because I don't have it in front of me. I'm trying to pull it up now.
I gotta look it up myself. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Look at us. We're so prepared. We're so good at this.
Yeah.
All right. Trying to bring up this because your Wi-Fi is clearly awful in here because.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
All right, let's see.
Hosting a show here. What are you kidding?
Let's see. Oh, they got Anaheim on Wednesday. Okay, Anaheim on Wednesday. Then they got 2 days off, and they got San Jose on Saturday. That's back-to-back with L.A. on Sunday.
Oh, that should be fun.
On Sunday.
That's fun.
I feel
Jonathan Quick was
the
good
last
so
couple
far.
Of trips they've gone out to California, I think they've done fairly well.
Oh, the last 3 years,
recall.
I believe. I think they've gone close to sweeping.
Yeah, they've done very well out there in California for some reason. I guess they like the warm weather.
The way that they play.
That's true. Yeah, they've been doing very well against the West for the last few years for whatever reason.
True.
So you were saying Jonathan Quick's looking good?
Jonathan Quick looks good. Oh, but I just wanted to add the Rangers did win 2-0 tonight against Montreal.
So that's their first one of the season, right?
It is their first one of the season. Lundqvist, 34 saves. Zibanejad and Brady Shea with the goals.
Zibanejad and Brady Shea.
Zibanejad's got 4 goals already.
Well, that's good for Ranger fans because we were wondering who was going to, you know, fill in for Stepan, right?
Yeah.
Take more of a, you know, leadership role in the center position. So it looks like he's stepping up so far. So good for them, bad for us.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't be bad for us. But, you know, Carey Price usually plays very well against the Rangers. Only gives up 2 goals tonight.
He usually plays very well against everyone, Tony.
Yes, he does, but particularly against the Rangers.
Oh,
he
okay.
He seems to like to play against them.
Okay.
Madison Square Garden seems to be a good spot for him. Shattenkirk has been as advertised so far, -3, but 3 points in the first two games.
Nice.
So, he was a +1 tonight. I mean, you know, the Rangers still have to, you know, Zibanejad has to take that step forward. JT Miller's playing the second line. He played well tonight. I think he had a point. He won 10 of his 13 faceoffs. So, you know, I mean, obviously the Rangers are gonna need to have that consistency from those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they eventually I think they're gonna have to make a move to get somebody else because You know, those guys have proven that they play. I mean, Zibanejad is a center no matter what, but is he a number one center? I don't think so. I think he's a number two. I think he's a really good number two, but I don't think he's number one center material, and this has been a hole on this team for a while, and losing Stepan, who, in my opinion, is still not a number one, but at least filled that role,
right,
you know, admirably while he was, you know, while he was in it. So
yes.
The Rangers are definitely going to have to do something there. I don't see any way that's going to be around. And it seems Anthony DeAngelo only played 3 minutes, so there might have been an injury there. I'm not sure.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, interesting. So. Well, he also has a reputation for being a bit of a bully out there, so maybe he got himself a game misconduct or something. Who knows?
It's funny.
Who knows?
He played 3 minutes and 45 seconds, and a minute 37 of that was on the power play.
Wow.
So could he have played a minute 37 in one power play and gotten hurt?
It's possible. It's possible. We'll have to research that outside of the show, Tony.
Yeah,
we'll look into
it. I'm just thinking out loud here, pal. I mean, you know, it's the only thing that was going on in the NHL tonight, so I figured we'd touch on it.
Yeah, no problem. And the other local team, the New Jersey Devils, they've only played one game so far.
Did you get a chance to see the highlight reel from Mikko last night?
I did not. Why don't you tell us about it, Tony?
You need to watch with this kid. This kid is a wizard.
Oh, right? Yeah?
Like Pavel Datsyuk type wizard.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
Oh, man. He was just zipping in all over the ice with this thing.
Zipping?
Yep.
Okay.
Got to take a look at it. It was impressive.
Okay, so he looked well in their victory over the Colorado Avalanche.
Yes, he did.
Okay,
yes,
all right.
He did.
Yeah, they've only played one game so far, but Buffalo's coming to town, I believe, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That should be interesting for them.
Yeah, you know, the Devils, I don't think they're there yet. I think they missed the playoffs again this year. They have some promising young guys, but I think it's just...
This kid looks really good, though.
Yeah.
You're going to put him with Taylor Hall. I think that's going to be a really good combination. If not this year, later this year, next year. But he really... I mean, you could just see it. I mean, there's guys that you look at and you watch and you say, wow, this kid really gets it, and you'll see it. You'll see it in the first 30 seconds of the clip. It's amazing.
Okay.
It's really, he's like a little wizard with the puck.
Okay, and I guess we'll just wrap up with these three games they have ahead this week against the California teams. You already touched on Jonathan Quick and the Kings a little bit. Just a little scouting report on what we're going to see with the Ducks and with the Sharks. I know you have aging veteran Joe Thornton there. You know,
no more Patrick Marleau.
Right, right. So, what do you expect?
He seems to be enjoying Toronto.
Yes, yes, he does. I was laughing at my Canadian friend. He's a huge, huge Maple Leafs fan, and I was busting his chops, you know, telling him Marleau wasn't going to do anything up there. And so far, he's been laughing at me. So, we'll see how long that lasts.
Yes, but. Yeah, I mean, you know, Anaheim is still considered one of the top teams in the NHL. I mean, real good young goalie in John Gibson. Their backup now is Ryan Miller, so you're going to have you got a good goaltender on any given night when you play them. Ryan Getzlaf, Corey Perry are still the main guys there. They have they have some injuries on the back end. Sammy Vatanen, I believe, is out of the lineup. But you got Ricard Raquel up front, who scored 30 goals last year. They got some good pieces, so, you know, Anaheim is always a tough place to play, so that's going to be the first game up. San Jose is a little bit of a different story. It's a team that's kind of in transition. They do have some good young players there. The defense is still fairly solid, good young goaltender in Martin Jones. I don't know how they fit into the whole structure. It kind of just depends, I guess, what Thornton does this year, but, you know, Brent Burns is back on on defense, and you know, the guy seems to be getting better with age because he just 70 some odd points last year, 350 shots. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what you got with Burns. And LA is, you know, they have a new coach. John Stevens is the coach. Pierre Turgeon is running their power play now.
Yeah.
He's like a power play consultant, which kind of puts a stake in my heart that he's playing, that he's working for another organization. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Kings have looked good. They got Dustin Brown playing with Anze Kopitar on the top line, and that's looked good for them so far.
Okay.
Again, Drew Doughty, Alec Martinez, they got names all over the ice there. Stevens is a really, really analytical coach. He's a good coach. His son plays for the Bridgeport, actually. He's we signed him as a college free agent last year. Guy who looked real good in the preseason, too, is someone you might see down the road. But... you know, it's going to be three tough games no matter what. The Islanders have played well on the West Coast recently, but those are three really tough games.
And, buddy, the Islanders aren't going to see them until the end of the month, but how about the Vegas Golden Knights opening up with two wins?
How could you not
What's going
that?
On in the desert?
especially with everything that's going on in Vegas, has been, you know,
the thing
in Dallas was really cool, what Dallas mm-hmm. did, and brought them out, and they stood on the ice together.
Yeah, it was cool.
Excellent display by Dallas. Mm-hmm. I'm really anxious to see what happens once they do get home. They have not played a home game yet, so I'm really interested to see them play at T-Mobile Arena. And yeah, man, it's great. I mean, Fleury, you don't really know what you're gonna, you don't know what to expect when you see a team, especially and they made a move on the fly. Look at George McPhee. He picks Malcolm Subban off of waivers, and then he trades Calvin Pickard like 2 days later. It was just, you know, obviously they're very, you know, they're high on Subban. They like they like what he can bring. He's gonna be their backup goaltender regardless now. So. Mm. I mean, good for them, man. You know, they got
absolutely.
James Neal's is a goal scorer. He's got three goals for them already. You know, they have some pieces, and you know, they kind of have to, you know, work things out. And Gallant is their coach, so he's a good coach. But you know, it's obviously not going to continue. But you know, it's really great to see. I'm really excited to see. I love the white gloves, man. I really do.
It's cool.
I am loving the white gloves.
Cool.
It is cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
That is the greatest touch, I think, that they could have added to that uniform, was having white gloves.
I think it looks nice. I mean, we talked about it back when they were first revealed. I wasn't too crazy about their jerseys. They could have done better.
But you see them on the ice now, and
it looks good, doesn't it?
It
looks
better.
I like it. Well, Tony, they are officially my Western Conference team.
All right. Okay.
go Knights. Go Knights.
Very good.
It's going to be a lot of rough nights for a couple of years.
Yeah,
but,
it will,
I
want to see what their building looks like. I'm anxious to see what their building looks like.
Yeah.
Lit up and ready to go.
Sure. Absolutely. And then I guess we'll just close with the Blues tomorrow. We already touched on it a little bit. What are we going to see tomorrow with Jake Allen between the pipes? I think they won their first two games. Yeah, they beat Pittsburgh. And who did they just beat? I was looking at it a second ago. It was Dallas. They beat Dallas 4-2 the other night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, the big acquisition there was Braden Schenn. I believe he's playing center with Tarasenko at this point. I think he's got 4 points in the first two games, so he's a dangerous guy to be out there. He does everything. He plays physical. He can score goals. He's lethal on the power play at like 30 power play points last year. He's a really big acquisition for them. Their defense is great. Jay Bouwmeester is out of the lineup right now, but, you know, Alex Pietrangelo is back there. You know, it's a solid team, man. And Mike Yeo, they played really, really well for Mike Yeo last year. So, you know, the time is now for the Blues. I mean, they've never been able to put a run together to get to that Western Conference Final. They've never been in the Stanley Cup Finals before. So this is a team that needs to do this at this point. They thought Ken Hitchcock was going to be able to get them there. Never happened. You know, Yeo is the guy that kind of handpicked him from when he was let go in Minnesota.
They're kind of like the Washington Capitals of the Western Conference. Very good for a long time,
mm-hmm.
but
Capitals
can never get
the
job
in the finals,
done.
Though that's the difference. Capitals
right.
been there twice.
That's twice. I know it was once, at least once against Dallas, right?
They
back when Dallas won in '99, right? Am I crazy?
And they didn't go. I thought they went two. I thought they went twice.
I think
I
it was
the Peter
only...
Bondra, like the Peter Bondra Capitals. I have to look that one up too. I thought it was twice. But anyway, but St. Louis has not been there, so that's something that they need to obviously tackle and get to that spot. But they're a solid team, and you know Jake Allen had his ups and downs last year, but he's a real talented young goaltender. They put
who's
all
backing
their...
him up.
It's Carter Hutton, I believe.
Oh, okay.
The kid from he was in Nashville.
Okay.
That's an interesting situation to watch in Nashville this year, is their goaltending situation with Pekka and this kid, Juuse Saros, who everybody just raves about.
Really?
Juuse Saros, yeah.
Huh.
And, you know, Rene is considered one of the better goalies in the NHL, and most pundits will tell you that Saros is going to push Rene for starts this year because he's that good.
Well, it might come sooner than later because they've stumbled out of the gate here. Nashville has not won a game in their first two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they got shut out by Pittsburgh last night.
4-0.
Matt Murray comes back to back down to earth after being lit up for. I don't blame him. I don't blame him for what happened. I mean, obviously, you know, the Chicago game is just. He came in the middle. He didn't even start that game. Anthony Niemi gave up 5 goals, I think, in the first period.
Yeah, that was.
It was just. Yeah, it was almost painful to watch. And then they left Murray in there after he was getting blistered with shots.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, why is Niemi sitting on the bench and your young star goaltender is in the game? I had no idea why they left him in there. But they did, and they had to finish out the game. He gave up, ended up giving 5 goals in 2 periods. That was brutal. So,
as much as I love to see the Penguins lose, Matt Murray is one of my goaltenders in fantasy hockey.
He
so I really need him to turn this around.
He was my key.
He's got to turn around for me.
I kept him over Bobrovsky.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I understand that, I suppose.
I figured the team won 2 straight Stanley Cups. I figured it was a sure thing.
Well, Tony,
great stats. He just got to stay healthy.
If history is going to repeat itself, Tony, the Islanders have to draw Washington the first round, okay? Mm-hmm. And then Wilson's going to have to take out John Tavares. game 6, right after he scores the nail in the coffin goal.
Can you tell?
And then the Islanders will beat Pittsburgh in round 2. Upset them so that they can't get the three-peat, just like back in the 90s.
You know what? That would be something. Speaking of Tom Wilson, can you explain to me how this schmuck got suspended twice in the same preseason? Can you explain that to me? How could that possibly be that a guy gets suspended twice in preseason? How does the NHL allow that to happen?
I don't know. The guy's a clown. What can I tell you? I don't know.
I don't get it.
He's a goon, Tony.
Why would you? Okay, so if he's done the same thing twice in the same, what's preseason? 3 weeks?
Something like
3 weeks.
Okay.
The guy's gotten suspended twice in 3 weeks. Isn't there some kind of rule? Like, if don't if you get like 3 speeding tickets in like a freaking 6 month period, they take your license away from you?
I don't think there's a preseason suspension rule. I don't think so.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
You think that's ridiculous? Well, I think you thinking that's ridiculous is ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but if the guy gets caught, if a player is
stumbling over your words here, Tony.
Because it pisses me off. How is this guy still playing? He did the same shit to two different players in a 3 week period, and
apparently
it's still letting
them... Washington thinks he fills a need for that team.
Well,
he very successfully took Lubomir Vyshnovsky out of the Islanders lineup 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever.
Calvin DeHaan too, didn't he?
Yeah,
he take
right.
him out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
he did. He's an assassin, Tony.
And George Parros now.
He's very good at what he does.
I got to watch that Ice Guardians, by the way. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah?
Very good.
Haven't seen it yet.
Watch it.
Haven't seen that yet, and I haven't seen the Goon sequel either.
I haven't seen it either, but you got to see Ice Guardians. Really, really good. Well done. George Parros, who's now in charge of...
Yeah, that's kind of ironic.
It is. Did you know? He went to... Where did he go? Did he go to Yale? He went...
Oh, he's a well-educated man?
Very well-educated.
Wouldn't you
very
know?
Well-educated. But
how about that?
He's one of the major guys who they interview. Kevin Westgarth is another one. Excellent, excellent movie. You should really check it out. It's I put on the other night.
Going to add to the list right after Blade Runner.
It's really?
I haven't seen it yet. And I want to see the sequel.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Oh, big star. Since we're on movies now, Star Wars trailer.
I knew.
Star Wars trailer
up a bag
coming
with that
tomorrow
one.
Night. Come on, you got to be all ready.
I didn't know that.
The first and only Star Wars trailer. They had that 30-second teaser a couple of weeks back or whatever.
Mm.
But trailer tomorrow night. Advance tickets go on sale right after. It's at halftime of Monday Night Football. Same shit that they did during Force Awakens. So be ready. It's going to be tomorrow night. New Justice League trailer.
I know you're ready, Tony.
Oh, I am.
I know you're ready. For those of you listeners who don't know, Tony, I mean, I consider myself somewhat of a movie buff, but Tony definitely takes the cake. I've had the pleasure of visiting his home. And his wall is littered with Blu-rays and DVDs.
Oh, it's a sickness.
You're talking about a trailer, man.
You're excited about
a trailer.
Absolutely, I'm excited about a trailer. It's freaking Star Wars. Of course, I'm excited about it.
All right.
It's Star Wars,
right,
man.
Okay,
come on.
Buddy, I get it.
I went to the marathon the last time when it was. I went to the movies at 1 o'clock in the
That's
morning
right.
and
you
sat
did.
Through 7 movies.
That's because you're insane.
I know.
You were insane.
It was great, though. It really was. It was
I'm
great.
Glad you enjoyed it.
After I slept through episodes 1 and 2, it was really great. It was wonderful.
Okay.
So.
Hey, man, you know, you, it's your thing. It's cool.
It is.
I respect
love it.
It. It's good.
Yep,
that's
I do.
Good.
Okay, so that's it. That's all I got.
So I think we'll wrap it up here, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in to Hockey Night in New York, part of the Hockey Active Radio Network. Remember, you can always tune in live at 9 p.m. or at RadioHockeyActive.com. Huge thanks to Islanders Radio play-by-play man Chris King. Great spot with him as always. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Tony Stabile, for him. I'm Sean Cuthbert. We will see you next week.